Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Psalm 92, verse 12. This is a very common passage of scripture for us at Lifehouse because it's a belief that we have in this place, and it comes from this scripture, and it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." The Bible is saying that those who are planted in God's house are going to flourish like a palm tree. Just a couple of thoughts right off the bat. Do you know, as the pastor of this church, senior pastors, Richard and Helen, do you know, every moment that I step into this place, when I'm at home and I'm thinking about our church, do you know, my goal is that this place is not about Helen and I, it's actually about God's people flourishing. And Helen and I have tried desperately to build a house that anyone who calls Lifehouse home should flourish. It's actually my job to ensure that we have a house where people can flourish. Mum and Dad, it's your job that your children can flourish in your home. If you're a business owner, it's your responsibility to ensure that you've got a place where people can flourish, fulfill their dream, live the biggest life they possibly can. So I have an agenda for you. If you're new here today, or maybe Lifehouse has been your home for years and years and years, I have an agenda for you. I want you to flourish. I want you to prosper. I want you to do well in life. I want you to win. I want you to overcome. I want God to do amazing things in your world. I want you to have the best life you could possibly have right now, until God takes us home. And the Bible is saying that this is God's plan for us. And so it says that we are to flourish like a palm tree. And we do live in a country where we have many palm trees, probably not as many as we would like, but many of us go on holidays and we've seen palm trees. And the Bible says that those who are planted in God's house are to flourish like a palm tree. So the big question is, how does a palm tree flourish? What are the characteristics of a palm tree that God is trying to bring into your world? Can I take you on a bit of a journey? Are you ready? Because some of us may not know some of these vitally important aspects of a palm tree. Number one, a palm tree has the ability to break the bands. Let me explain that to you. When people plant palm trees, or any tree for that matter, people will often put a concrete ring or some type of decoration, something made out of plastic, around the base of the plant, and then they put some mulch around there to make it look beautiful so that it's not just sitting there amongst the grass. And they try and beautify it. And people will often do that. If you do that to a gum tree, what will happen is, if the concrete band isn't big enough, as the gum tree begins to grow, what happens is, as it starts to reach that ring, that concrete circle, it actually begins to kill the tree. Palm trees, on the other hand, as they keep growing and growing and growing, palm trees simply smash the concrete. They totally destroy it. Why? Because it just has an ability to just keep growing and growing. And even though something is trying to contain it, it has an ability to smash it. What does that mean to us? The Bible says that if we are planted in God's house, you are like a palm tree. What does that mean? People's words. People, when they've tried to put concrete words around you, but you can't achieve, and you can't, and this is the way you're going to live, and this is who we've always been, and we grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, the Bible says you're a palm tree. And if you're a palm tree, as you continue to grow in God's house, you are going to smash anything that has been spoken over your life, any habit or addiction that has been handed down to you from mum or dad. The Bible says you have an ability to break it because you are a palm tree. Give the other palms around you a high five. When Helen and I were living in our last home, by accident, I didn't do anything to do this, but we have a side garden to that home, and we noticed that as we were leaving our house, this little palm tree began to grow near our side fence. We didn't plant it there, but it looked quite nice, and some of its branches were starting to come out, but it was tiny as we sold that home. Well, 5 or 6 years later, my son and I wanted to go back to that home because we wanted to go and pinch some of the lemonade lemons off the... Did I just say that out loud? Sorry, I was supposed to say we were going to knock on the door and ask the lady if we could have some lemons. Which we did in the end. And she said, yeah, come through. So we went through, and what absolutely shocked us both is as we walked through to the back of the home, we noticed that that little palm tree had grown, but because we didn't plant it, it had grown quite close to the side fence. Well, guess what? As that palm tree had continued to grow and grow and grow, it absolutely annihilated and destroyed their fence. What would kill most trees? The palm tree just goes, huh? Get out of my way. You know, just this week, I caught up with a young guy in our church. When I say young guy, he's older than me. And he was telling me that when he was in school, his teacher said to him, you know what? I'll leave his name out of it. Tony. She said, Tony, you know what? You're the king of donkeys. You're the king of donkeys. Because he was a bit of a class clown, apparently. She said, you're the king. And you know what? And that ruled his life for a long time. It ruled his life for a long time. But you know, that young man, he got saved many, many years ago, and he's been coming into God's house. And by coming into God's house, why are we able to break the bands? Because he started to hear messages of who God is in his life and what God can do in his life. And as he was sitting there one day, having this thought inside of him that him being the king of donkeys, one day a preacher got up and started talking about how Jesus one day got on a donkey and rode into town, and Jesus chose that donkey, and you may feel like a donkey, but God can still use you. Well, that young guy took that word. Today, that young man who's supposed to be the king of donkeys is someone who is doing very well in business. His children love God. He's moving forward in life. How? Because he got into God's house and he allowed his word to penetrate him and to turn him into a palm tree. Any other palm trees here today? Come on, some palm trees. What's been spoken over your life? What have you seen as a young person that you're thinking, that's just obviously the way I'm going to grow up? Some of you know my story, and I need to be very diligent to end the story well. But when I was growing up, from the time I could remember, my parents, who are both no longer on this earth, they are both in the kingdom of heaven now. As far as I could remember, I saw my parents fighting. Now, if it was just arguing, that wouldn't have been such a big problem, but I'm talking violent, violent fighting. I'm talking about coming home one day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and walking in and watching my parents, or should I just say my dad, just laying into my mum so badly that I had to run next door and go get Frank from next door to come in and to break my parents up. And I remember having to do that multiple times. I remember sitting there one day and I'm just sitting with my mum and my parents start fighting, and I could feel it getting worse and worse and worse. And I remember my dad standing at the kitchen bench just got so angry with my mum, and he picked up a pair of scissors and he threw it at her and it went flying through the air. And I literally just leant back and it went into the actual couch itself, like it sunk deep into the couch. That's what I saw as a young guy growing up. You know, psychologists would say that that's what I've seen, that that's what I will tend to do with my life. That that's the sort of attitudes I'll have toward women, that I would be violent, that I would be angry, that I would yell a lot, that I would scream. But you know what? This young 16-year-old boy got into the God's house one day. And I started hearing great preaching about you don't have to behave the way your father behaved. The things that were passed down to you, they don't have to live in your life. And your dad may have done this, but you don't need to live. You can be like your father in heaven. And as a 16-year-old boy, I started hearing God's word. It changed my life. 26 years later, I say this with humility because it's just God's word in my life. I haven't even yelled at the girl, let alone thrown a punch. I just want to encourage you today, friends, whatever it is that you feel like is surrounding your life and that's just who I am, it's not just who you are. You are a child of God. All of heaven belongs to you. We are palm trees in the house of God. Let's give him a huge shout in this place. Come on. I love this. How does he do it, friends? He changes the way you think. That's how he does it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of your mum, dad, brother, sister, school, work. That's the world, isn't it? That's all the world. Yeah. Don't copy that behavior, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn, I love this, to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Repeat those with me. Good, pleasing, perfect. Do you know there is a will of God that is good for you? It's good. Then there's the pleasing, and do you know that then there's the perfect? In my judgment, I have met lots of people, and I would say most people are living the good will of God. What's the good will of God? You're saved. You're saved. That's God's good will. Do you know you can be saved and your life be a living hell on earth, though? God wants to take you to the next level where what you're doing with your life is actually pleasing to him. Where God looks at you and goes, wow, you're not just saved. You're actually living the life that I go, wow, I love the way you're living now. But you know, there's even another level where it's God's perfect will for you. Does anybody want to live God's perfect will? Let me tell you how you get that. When you hear God's word repeated over and over and over, and it's less of you and it's more of him, and it's God's word, less of your thinking, more of his thinking, and God begins to displace all those negative things that we've always thought about ourselves. As God begins to displace that, you end up living God's perfect will for your life, and that's the plan of God for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So come on, we need to go on a journey and allow God to do this. But remember, these are the palm trees that are planted in God's house. Psalm 68, verse 35, it says, God is awesome in his sanctuary, in his church. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Do you know when Jesus would be walking around the streets of Jerusalem and Samaria? Do you know, often he would come across a blind man, someone who had leprosy, someone who had different things going on in their world. And has it ever shocked you the way Jesus, when he would see a blind man, would say to him, what can be done for you? Like, this is the God of the universe. Very intelligent, very smart. And the guy's walking around, bumping into things. And Jesus says, so what can I do for you? Jesus, I think it's pretty obvious. Like, just open the guy's eyes. Why would Jesus often ask the question, what can be done for you? Or sometimes he used to word it differently. Sometimes he would say, do you want to be made well? Do you remember that? Remember when Jesus would say, of course I want to be made well. You know, there were three times that Jesus didn't ask that question. It was the woman who had the bent over back. It was the guy who had the shriveled arm. And it was the time that a guy was actually demon possessed. Three times Jesus didn't ask that question, do you want to be made well? Do you know where he found those three people? In the temple. Whenever God found people in the temple, he never asked them that question, because if you're in God's house, you must want to be healed. You must want to grow. You must want God to take you to a perfect place. He doesn't ask you that question if you're in his house. Number two, can I give you number two very quickly? Listen to what else a palm tree does. A palm tree not only survives the desert, it flourishes in the desert. It flourishes. Why? Because it's actually built for tough conditions. You're built for tough conditions. You're built for it. You know, recently, if I look like I'm hobbling here a little bit, it's because I had a lump here on the side of my leg just before I went to Europe. And I'm like, whoa, lumps, no good. Actually, I just went to the doctor and I was expecting him to say, don't worry about it, go home, because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. Get out of here, what's the matter with you? Oh, what, you're here every 10 minutes, get out of here. But he didn't. He actually did the whole, so how big has it grown? In how long? And I'm like, in 12 months. He's like, oh, no. And you know when doctors get that look? They're like. And then he sort of did the whole turnaround. How long has this been going on? And I'm like, 12 months. And he's like, well, you know. And then he full on dropped the C word on me. He said, well, we better get this because this thing could be cancer. That's amazing. I just went for like a lump. Like, just can you rub it out, please? You know, just give me a tablet. I want to go home. Now it's turned into, oh my gosh, chemotherapy. I'm at the hospital. And you know me, I'm there. I'm in the thing. I'm in the seat now. I've got the pipe hanging out of my nose. I'm in the cancer ward. Like, you know what I mean? People are coming, you guys are coming to see me. You're feeling a bit sad. You're looking at me. Big prayer meetings for Pastor Richard. People are crying. People are howling. Big checks are coming in. It's like, it's all happening for me, right? Checks, why not? Just send checks. Surely I can find out a way to spend some of that money. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's like, it really like, wow. And you know what? Now, let me quickly hurry up and tell you that it's okay. I just recently had a cut out and it was benign. But you know what? Then I went away for a month, not knowing whether it was cancer or not. Right? And I'm trying to enjoy myself, trying to preach the gospel. Do you know, but I've got to tell you something. I can't lie to you. Do you know, even if in my heart I went, Lord, if that's what it is, in Jesus' name, I know you can heal it. Number one. Number two, God, if it doesn't get healed, you know what, God? You're still God. You're still powerful. You're still amazing. I still love you. And God, whatever this is, God, if you've allowed it, God, then I know that I can get through it. And God, I know that you're with me and you're for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What was going on in my mind? Let me tell you what wasn't happening. There was no handshaking going on. There was no fist shaking. There was no falling apart. Because I honestly believe from the front to the back, side to side, every one of you, you're built for tough conditions. And things may not go the way they're supposed to go all the time, but you're built for this. Because we know that there is a God who cares for us. And they eventually cut it out and it was all good. But you know what? For some other people, you know what? Your diagnosis is not like that. But I want to tell you something. You're still a palm tree. And you're built for tough conditions. Do you know why these things are built for tough conditions? Because they have roots that don't go wide, they go deep. They go deep and that they are able to find water. Do you know why they're able to do that? Because they continue to send their roots deep. They don't keep moving around. Yeah, that's why. You know, Helen and I, we've planted some nice trees around in our backyard lately. Some of you ladies saw it just recently. You know, got some nice trees growing. Do you know one thing I've never done is walked outside my backyard, you know, yesterday morning, for example. I didn't walk out and go, Helen, come out here and have a look at this. And she comes out and I go, check that out. And she's like, what? I'm like, the trees, they've moved. Yeah. She's like, where are they? I said, I don't know. And all of a sudden, all the trees are all just there on the side fence. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Just want to move around. Then we come out the next morning, now they're actually in our neighbours. What are you doing there? The worship's better over here, man. The worship's unbelievable. It's awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's more spiritual over here. You know what? I've noticed my trees don't do that. I notice my trees during the wind, the rain, the sunshine, they just stay there. And because of that, their roots get stronger and stronger and deeper and deeper. And they become all that God wants them to be because they don't keep moving around. Do you know what? We've also got down the side of our home, beautiful little trees, but they're in pots. And they're nice too, but they're in pots. They're not actually planted in the ground. They're actually just in, no, they look beautiful. But you know what? They're so needy. I need water. I need water. But I gave you water yesterday, but I know, but I need more now. I need more water. But I gave you lots of water. Yeah, I know, but I just need some more now. And every day I'm out there, giving them some water. Whereas, you know, the other trees, they're just like, don't worry about us, bro. We're all good. We're all good, mate. We've got roots going down. We'll find water ourselves. Don't worry about it, Pastor Rich. You worry about the pots. We're the plants. We're right here. We're not going anywhere. Come on. You want to be a palm tree in God's house? Let your roots go deep. Listen, if you have been coming to this church for less than 6 months, we're saying to you, come and be a part of it. Come to intro lunch. Be a part of it. Do growth track. That's letting your roots grow deep. It's so funny how someone can be coming to our church for 3 years and some people are here for 3 weeks and the person who's been here for 3 weeks is more planted, more solid, already got some friendships. How did that happen? because they've got some roots going deep. Hey, listen, if you start going through some tough times in life, you're going to need some great people around you. And the way you do that, friends, is you let your roots go in very, very deep. Give someone a high five beside you. Come on. The Bible says, blessed. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. What does it say? Blessed. Not bored. Not stressed. Yeah. It says, blessed are those. Not depressed. Blessed. It says they will go from strength to strength. Psalm 1 verse 3, it says that like this. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of living water. Do you know one thing I just pray Lifehouse is that my prayer is that you're not just planted, but that Lifehouse is a stream of living water. Do you know there are lots of people that are planted, even in churches, I'll be honest with you, but there's very little water running through that place. So they're being faithful, but they're not being very fruitful. So they're holding on because this is where God's called me, and that's great, but they're actually not getting the nourishment they actually need. I know that sounds contradictory to what I've just said. What I'm trying to say to you is make sure you're growing. It's your responsibility to always ensure that you are growing in God. I do believe that Lifehouse is one of those many churches where the streams are flowing thick and fast and you can grow in God's house. Number three, very, very quickly. The palm tree will bend, but it will not break. Did you know that? The palm tree will bend. Oh, come on, some of us have seen those pictures where the hurricanes are coming and the palm tree will bend right over, but it will bounce straight back. Why is it able to do that? Watch this. An ordinary tree is dead on the inside, but it's alive on the outside. It's the bark that keeps it alive. Do you know a palm tree is completely the opposite way around? Do you know a palm tree is dead on the outside, but it's alive on the inside? And because of that, it's flexible. It can cope with change. And as things start to happen on the outside, you know, you can get a palm tree and you can get a machete and start hacking into the actual bark of a palm tree. And it goes, go for it, bro. I'm dead. Do that to a gum tree and it's like, ow. And it's so sensitive. But a palm tree, you can hack at it. And it does absolutely not. Why? Because its life is on the inside. Hey, listen, the Bible says you are a palm tree. When people talk badly about you, it's like, you know what? I wish you wouldn't do that. But that's okay because I'm alive on the inside. It's okay. I don't need to worry about what people are saying, what people are doing. I'm alive. And because of that, you can bend, but you will not break. Isn't that beautiful? And I've got to tell you, that's what I see in people's lives. Do you know the fourth thing about a palm tree? Is that when you get a group of them together, something happens. It's called an oasis. You know, some people, when they come into this place, they get to drink from an oasis because we all turned up. And you know what? May we never have an attitude of, you know what, I came to church just to see what I could get out of it. You know, sometimes we need to come because we need to create an oasis for thirsty people to come into this place and to take a drink. That's why we turn up. That's why we turn up. We're creating an oasis for people. And my last point is this, and I reckon it's one of the most powerful. You know, the Bible says that as you get older and older, your fruit will get sweeter and sweeter. Did you know with palm trees, the older they get, the sweeter the fruit gets? I don't know about you, but as I get older and older, I want to get sweeter and sweeter. I don't want to be the old guy at the back of church. Yeah, they're not singing the songs that I used to sing. Back in my day, we used to sing, this is real love, this is real love. Yeah, because when I'm old, that's what I'm going to be saying. Because that was the anointed song of my day. Do you know what I love about our church? We've got some older people here, more mature people. Do you know, there's one family here, and I'm going to mention them because I just think you've got to give honour where honour is due, you know, but we've got an, probably, I don't know whether they're the oldest couple in our church, I'm not sure, but they're called the Kelsos. And the Kelsos are in our church, and they're a slightly older family, couple. And I remember one day I was walking down here, and Helen grabs my hand and she says, you know, Pastor Richard, the music in this church, it's not necessarily our cup of tea. It's not what we grew up on. But don't worry about us. Worry about the young people at the front. Wow. Worry about To me, that's someone that's got a sweet spirit. That's someone that's saying, listen, yeah, of course I'd love to have a hymn here and a hymn there. Maybe I don't know what it is that they would like. But how beautiful it is that someone's got such a sweet spirit that they're not focusing on themselves. They're actually focusing on that next generation, those young people that can move forward. That's the sort of church we go to. Why don't we give it up for the Kelsos? I think they're in the house here somewhere. I love that. I love that. You know what? I think you've obviously worked out what this message is all about. This message is about valuing the house of God, friends. It's about valuing, because the Bible says, blessed are those, wait for it, who dwell, not visit your house. You know, church is a home. It's a family. It's not a cafe. It's not a bank. It's not a nightclub. It's a family. And you're supposed to feel relaxed. You're supposed to feel welcomed and like you feel like you belong. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but at my home, you know what? We've all got something to do. And we all belong. And you know what? You can all go and open the fridge and enjoy yourself. Make this place your own. But at the same time, let's not be one of those kids that just make mum and dad do everything. Come on, let's pick up a vacuum. Let's help out around the house. Let's do what we need to do. Let's get involved in this place. And all I want to desperately convey today is listen. The Bible says that you're going to flourish like a palm tree if you plant yourself. Plant yourself. And I just want to encourage you from the front to the back. If you haven't planted yourself in a church, maybe this is your first time, you're thinking, wow, man, I just came for the first time. Yeah, right up front, I want you planted. Whether it's this church or another church, because I want God to make sure you flourish. You know, the first way in which you flourish is experiencing God's forgiveness. That's the first thing. As you experience everything that Jesus has done, and then he can start to bring those wonderful things into your world. You know, I was in corporate training for a long, long time. And I enjoyed corporate training, you know, teaching on customer service and sales and so forth and so on. And to be quite honest, it paid very well, very lucrative. But you know what? I was so happy to step away from that to pastor a church. Why? Because I just believe in everything that God is trying to do in this place for you, for your children. Parents, my commendation to you is allow your children to grow up in God's house. I see these young people on stage, you know, most of them grew up in this house because mum and dad just said, you know what, we're going to flourish in God's house. Come on, bring them to youth. Get involved. Get them into the places where they need to be, so that God can pour out his beautiful rain on their life. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabaki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.